And go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 20. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together on this Lord's Day. Thank you, Father, for all those that you brought in safely. Father, we ask that you administer to our hearts this morning, speaking to us exactly what we need. And we thank you, Father, that you know what we need. You know what may be troubling our heart. You know what may be troubling our thoughts. You know what we may be facing in life today. And Father, you have the answer to everything. We thank you, Father, that we are complete in Christ. Everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for guiding our steps. Thank you for lifting us up when we fall down. Thank you, Father, for even having our path laid out before us, that even though we may not can see what tomorrow holds, we know who holds tomorrow. We know, Father, we can trust you as we follow you. Father, we ask that you bless the children in junior church as well. Open up their understanding and hearts of the Bible lesson. Help them have fun with the crafts, the games. Father, all of it being used to draw their hearts to Christ and to help them to build that friendship with a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave them nor forsake them. And Lord, help us to be reminded that we have a true friend in Jesus Christ who's always there. Lord, he's not even a phone call away. He's just, his presence is always with us. It doesn't matter what the hour of day is. He always wants to hear from us. And we thank you, Father, for the relationship we have with you. Father, would you bless our time now? Help us, Lord, to walk away with exactly what you have for us in this moment. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk to us about the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and how to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and what the power of the Holy Spirit will even do for us. Because it's not enough to be called a Christian or to go to church. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life so we can live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord, but a life that also helps us to overcome life's trials, to help us to overcome the world's fiery darts that are hurled at us at different moments. Different things happen. Tragedies happen in a moment's notice. We've had that in Oxford over the past year. You've had tragedy in Texas, tragedy in your life. There's just things that happen in your life that can really cause you to doubt what God is doing, cause ourselves to wonder why God's taking so long before he comes back. And we already know the answer to that. God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. But the wonderful thing is that he has a life that he wants to give you and to give it abundantly. You and I have not experienced life without Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, there's so much more to the life that he's given us. Remember, he said the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. In verse 20 of our text this morning is a wonderful verse. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have a power in you that can overcome any doubt, can overcome any fear we may face. The power in us that will give us the ability to accomplish what God calls us to do, whether it's to be a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, whether it's to be a friend to somebody. Whatever God has called you to do, He's given you the ability to do it through Jesus Christ. But we have to be careful this morning that we do not quench the Holy Spirit in our life. Because once we quench the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves not knowing what God's will is for our life, because we won't hear the voice of God as He speaks to us. Our heart will not be in tune with the Lord. This morning, I want you to think about even verse number 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. God's will for you and me today is to be strengthened by His Spirit that He has placed within us. The moment that you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ is the moment the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in our life. And not just to take up residence, to just have a place to abode, but a place, a life to change from the inside out. A life that He can show His power in and through. We serve an awesome God. It doesn't matter your age this morning, whether you're a teenager, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on, you have a life that God wants to bless and a life He wants to show Himself great and mighty in. And we're going to see that this morning in the Scriptures. But two words I want you to keep in mind this morning. The first word is protocol. Protocol. You know, the protocol is specific guidelines for correct conduct that must be followed. Most companies and hospitals have their protocol on how they are to conduct themselves in different situations. But God has a protocol that will bring power into our life. That's the second word I want you to remember this morning is power. And the power that I speak of is that supernatural power that is enabled by the Holy Spirit that will cause the results of our ability and our imaginations to line up with God's will for our life. It's a supernatural enabling by the Holy Spirit that causes results, I should say, out of our ability and our imagination. Again, in verse 20, above all that we ask or think. You know, we're kind of limited in the way that we think about God. Our words are limited in describing the greatness of God and what God has done in our life. If God's done anything in your life, you normally tell somebody about it. You normally tell somebody, you know what? I was almost in a car accident today, and I was driving along, and this car just zipped out in front of me, and just, we didn't collide. I mean, you're just excited about it. Or, you know, there's just things in life. Being excited about a newborn baby. I remember every one of our children being born and just the anticipation, waiting, because As a father, as a mother, probably more so with the father, just anticipation of waiting and wanting to know, what's the child going to, is the child going to look more like me, more like her? I mean, what's the characteristics going to be? All these things. You think about waiting on God. You think about God working in your life. How can I have the power of God upon my life? How can I have the power of God in my life? How can I have the fullness of Christ in my life? And what will happen if I follow God's protocol, God's way of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit? Once saved, always saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, not talking about getting the Holy Spirit again, but allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to really abound in your life. And there's several things I want us to think about this morning in regards to the fruit of God's protocol. The fruit of God's protocol. Number one, you and I will have divine illumination. We will have divine illumination, knowing what's right from wrong. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit does so much in our life when we allow Him to. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not fight with us to produce God's fruit in our life. He doesn't fight with us to drag us down the path that God has laid before us. The Holy Spirit works in a life that's yielded to Him. And the Holy Spirit will produce the fruit in our life that God has already predestined for every one of us. The first is having divine illumination, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You and I this morning, we have the mind of Christ if we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And the Holy Spirit of God illuminates to us things that are right and things that are not right. I'm sure there's been times, again, you know, we may call it mother's intuition. We may call it a gut feeling. But as a child of God, when the Holy Spirit reveals to us something that's not right, there's warning signs that go off. Because we can't always tell or see if something's right or not. And we definitely want to keep ourselves from being taken advantage of. Nobody in their right mind goes out there and says, "Hey, world, I want you to take full advantage of me. Do whatever, say whatever you want." No, we go out in the world kind of cautiously, you know, not wanting to be taken advantage of, especially if you've already been taken advantage of by people. You get to be a little leery of people and kind of keep your distance. But you know what? There's things that look right and look good that the Holy Spirit of God will kind of prompt us, something's not right. And we want that. We want to have that illumination so that we're not deceived, but also we want to have the illumination of the Spirit to know as we read Scripture, how does it apply to me? How can I apply the Word of God to my life? Because again, when you look at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, those words, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." So is God limited in his power? Is he limited in his knowledge? Is he limited in what he can help you and me with? And the answer is no, because he has all power. Now, I've said it before, the devil has a little power. The devil is allowed to do some things right now, but Jesus has all power. And we find ourselves at different times thinking that God cannot do, and you fill in the blank. Now, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, of the Father, it's mentioned in Scripture, who was honest with the Lord and said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We all find ourselves in that position at different times, knowing God can, but believing he might not because of me. I know he can do it for so-and-so, he's done it for them, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. If you're a child of God, he will, because he wants to show himself great and mighty in your life and in my life. The Holy Spirit helps us to see things that we cannot see through the natural eye. He gives us the spiritual eyes to see that God truly is on our side, that God truly does love us, he cares for us. And that's why he says, "Cast all your care upon me, for he careth for you." In John chapter 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You know the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit cares deeply about you and me being in the center of God's will. I've not always known whether a job was the right job. I've had many jobs in my lifetime that seemed like the right job on the outside. They say, "You know what? This will be the perfect job for me. I mean, it's got the right pay, the right benefits, the right hours and everything." But have you ever gotten into a job like that that you thought was going to be the perfect job and realized very quickly, "This is not the job I want"? Because we couldn't see the future. We couldn't see what it was really going to be about and were we going to really be happy there. I mean, just things in life that we look at as though, you know what, this might be it. But as God's people, we have to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God who wants to guide us through this life. Do you know this morning that God truly wants to bless your life? It says it all throughout His Word. He wants to bless your life. I know some believe, you know, the Christian life is a boring life. It's a life of rules, do's and don'ts. And there are things in Scripture that God tells us not to do for our benefit. But there are many things in Scripture that God tells us to do for our benefit. I don't know about you, but I've never once thought in my life I should have never got saved. That was the worst day of my life when I cried out to Christ to come into my life. That was the worst day, having His peace flood my soul and change my life. Not to admit that on that day, things in my life didn't just, you know, automatically turn around and whoop, I was a good person. No, I got saved, but still had things in my life that God had to work out. And over time, God would show me by His Spirit things that I thought were okay, that He says, you know what, why don't you get rid of that? And at times, you know, you struggle with that because we kind of reason with those things. Well, it doesn't seem like anything that's big, but can I just encourage us that any time that God encourages us to get rid of something, just go ahead and get rid of it. Because the devil's never going to tell you to do what's right. The devil will always fight against us doing what God calls us to do. But the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is that He gives us the ability to discern what's right and wrong, to detect danger when we can't really see it, to direct our path, and to declare the goodness of God in our life. Have you ever doubted the goodness of God? Have you ever wondered why God doesn't do things for you that He does for other people? But yet, God continues to work in our life. Again, like I said this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't really know your background. I don't know how close of a walk you have with the Lord. I'm assuming that you are walking with the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here this morning, at least if I wasn't at least trying to walk with the Lord and trying to let the Lord work in my life. One thing that I have a hard time with, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, you know what? Apologize. That's just a second. 2 Corinthians, I said 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There is something I struggle with, and that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, now this is Paul speaking. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what a wonderful truth encourages that. You know what? In our weakness, He's strong. Our strength comes from the Lord. When I am weak, then I'm strong when I'm relying upon the Lord. But Paul goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Have you ever gloried in your infirmities? Have you ever gloried in your difficulties of life? See, I have a problem with that. Paul says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Well, Paul, I can't do that. I don't glory in the bad things that happen in my life. I don't glory in my struggles. But Paul goes on to say that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The focus has to be right. If I'm just looking at my difficulties, I can't glory in that. But if I look at the one who gives me the strength in the difficult moment, if I look at the one whose grace is sufficient, if I look at the one who shall supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus, okay, then I can glory in the infirmity, because I'm not looking at the infirmity. I'm not looking at the fiery furnace. I'm not looking at the den of lions. I'm not looking at, you know, all of that that I'm surrounded by. I'm looking at the one who's already given me the victory in this life, the one who gives me the power to resist my own selfish desire of wanting to just find the easy way out. Because he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome the things that we face in this life and to really have that spiritual attitude as Paul. You know what? I'd rather have the power of Christ in my life because the power of Christ in my life helps me to overcome the difficulties of life. Not only does the Holy Spirit give us the illumination that we need and the power that we need, but he gives us the victory over sin. In Romans 8, verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." By the Holy Spirit, we get power over sin. He helps us to overcome sin. He helps us to bring down the Jericho walls and the Goliaths in our life. If you remember Scripture, Joshua led the children of Israel against the first city in the promised land, Jericho. And Jericho represents faith in God, trusting what God says. Because Joshua had to just lead the people around the city wall once per day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. My faith and your faith is tested on a daily basis. Do I believe what God's told me? Do I trust his guidance, his direction? And when we do, we slay the giants of doubt, the giants of unbelief. Because David in his day, as he fought Goliath, he went out there and he tells Goliath, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." King Saul wouldn't go up against the giant. The men of the Israelite army would not go up against the giant. But yet one came with faith. Faith knowing that God would give him that victory. The Holy Spirit helps us to bring down the Goliaths and the Jerichos in our life. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to renew our mind as well, reminding us not only of the goodness, but the faithfulness of God, reminding us the fact that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What do I need this morning that God can provide? The government's not always going to be able to provide things for you. People just can't always provide what you need. People rely on different things, but God's people need to rely on the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. Again, living in this world, sometimes our thoughts are not the best thoughts. Sometimes when you're looking again in the world and at the things of the world, we think, you know, why is God just letting this happen? Why is God not doing something? But yet when we read in Scripture, the Holy Spirit reminds us that, you know what, God is in control. God has told us the world's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get better when Jesus returns. And we have to remind ourselves, you know what? It's not that bad. Whatever bad is happening in your life right now, it's not that bad. And you might, well, Pastor, you really don't know what's going on in my life to make that statement. You're right, I don't. But I can make that statement because if you're saved on your way to heaven, life is good. Because if you're lost and on your way to hell, life is bad. So if you're saved on your way to heaven, then whatever we face in this life could be worse. And believe me, I often pray, Lord, can you change this? Just change the situation. Take this difficulty away. I don't want to have to go through it. And the Lord often reminds me, no, you have to go through it, but I'll walk with you. Aren't you glad this morning you have a Savior who actually has gone this way before? He has lived a perfect, sinless life that you and I can't live, but he lived it so you and I could rely upon him and walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death so you and I could get encouraged. You know what? Somebody understands me. I don't understand most people. Sometimes I don't even understand myself. But God understands. Because Jesus Christ, his son, lived life like you and I live. He faced opposition. He faced fatigue. He faced even just bodily fatigue and hunger and thirst and opposition, people against him. Have you ever done good to somebody for them just to turn around and hate you and stab you in the back? When you read in the scriptures and read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, Jesus was doing good. I've never healed anybody. I've helped people. And I've had those people I've helped turn on me. And I'm sure you've had people turn on you as well that you thought, wait, I thought you were my friend. And when that happens, we get a little leery of people. People that want to be our friend. Okay, what do you want? When we look at the life of Christ, he was constantly helping people he knew would turn on him. And even at the end of his life, he had people crying out, crucify him, crucify him. You ever had someone tell you, I wish you were dead? Have you ever said that to somebody? Think about Christ. Those he helped with his own hands and his words would cry out, crucify him. He understands the life that we live. He understands the difficulties we go through. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit, to give us the power to overcome the difficulties of this life, to be able to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is to protect itself, is to just not want to face opposition, not to have difficulties in life, but good things do come out of the difficulties of life. Now, that area that the Holy Spirit helps us in is to have a supernatural ability to forgive people. And I say supernatural because sometimes, you know what, we just can't forgive people. Not after what they did, not after what they said. It's just difficult. And sometimes we may say, you know what, I'll forgive them, but I'm never going to forget what they did. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, we find a man by the name of Stephen. The Bible says of Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost, someone who was just walking with God, someone who had a relationship with the Lord, his life was surrendered to whatever God's will was, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's a wonderful thing to be in a moment in your life and to look up and actually see Christ. To be able to see the Lord. And if you're not familiar with what's going on with Stephen, at this moment in his life, he's being stoned. He's being killed for his faith. Because there's a crowd that do not like Christ, and they do not like the followers of Christ. And he was a man that just went around helping people and just trying to be an example, helping people to just have encouragement in the Lord. And here they're going to stone him. Verse 59 says, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. For me, I'm always convicted with that verse that as he is taking his last breath, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because how many times have we walked around with bitterness in our heart towards someone who did us evil? How many times have we, and we wouldn't even know, but how many times have we missed out on the blessings of God because of bitterness in our heart, unforgiveness in our heart? Again, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why is God not helping me? It may be I have some unforgiveness in my heart towards somebody. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. No, but God does. And the wonderful thing is that God's the avenger. God says, I will repay. God's the avenger. God can heap, as the Bible says, coals of fire on their head better than we can. Now, we at times, anybody think about it, you know, I'd like to put some fire on their head. But when God brings conviction into a life, it does more work than the damage that we would do in trying to make someone see what they're doing is wrong. Again, it's really leaving it up to the Lord. It's really looking into the face of Jesus and knowing that my Lord and Savior will do what's right. And having that supernatural ability to be able to forgive somebody through the power of the Holy Spirit, it brings peace in my life. It brings joy in my life. It takes the weight of the world off my shoulders. But you know what? There's something that every one of us needs. There's something that every one of us desires to have. And the Holy Spirit can help us to have it. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. If you've lived life for any length amount of time, there are certain feelings that we long for. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Everybody desires to be loved. Everybody desires to have joy in their life. Everybody desires to have peace in their life. I mean, those are probably the three main things that people seek after. Being loved, having joy, and having peace. And many times, those three important things escape us in this world, because we're looking for somebody to bring that love and joy and peace into our life. And sometimes we find it. But it doesn't always last. Because once you get to know somebody, you find out their flaws. You find out the things you don't like about that person. And they don't bring you joy anymore. But when you have a relationship with Christ, there's a love that never ends. There's a joy that never goes away. There's a peace that fills every valley in our life, because He is a faithful God, an everlasting God that truly loves us, and He manifested His love on the cross of Calvary. There's a joy that comes from knowing the Heavenly Father, coming to know your Creator, the one that has given you your life and has designed you for the life that you're living. And there's a wonderful peace that comes that passes all understanding. Again, the Holy Spirit gives us everything that we need in this life. Sometimes we're looking for it in other people, in other jobs, other relationships, when it's all found in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, again, it says, "Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Again, that power that works in us, the Holy Spirit, we have to give Him place. We have to allow Him to do His ministry in our life. We have to allow Him to cultivate His fruit in our heart so it bears out in our life. And there's certain ways that we can do this. There's ways that you and I can yield ourselves to the will of God, to the will of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always does the Father's will, always does what God wants to be done in our life. But this morning, you and I have to give up our own will. We have to give up our own will. When I was younger, go to John chapter 12. You'll take your Bibles, go to John chapter 12. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, and even in my 20s, I had ideas of what I wanted to do with my life. How many of us understand that, you know what, even a child, when a child starts saying, "Oh, I want to be a policeman when I grow up. I want to be a fireman. I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom." A child changes their mind multiple times before they actually do what they're going to do in life. And even as a teenager, I had these ideas of what I was going to do. Not one of them panned out. Not one of my ideas came to be. And you know why? I didn't pursue it. I just thought, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, but that's about as far as it went. I just didn't do anything with it. If I truly want the power of God upon my life, if I truly want the Holy Spirit to fill my life, to guide my steps, if I truly want God's will in my life, I have to pursue it. I have to pursue God's will for my life, and it starts with having a brokenness in my will. In John 12, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Now, many things that Jesus was teaching just in those verses, and we're teaching about his death, burial, and resurrection. He's also teaching about the fact, you know what? What are we going to look like when we get to heaven? What's this body going to look like? It's going to be different. And in Corinthians, Paul talks about having a different body, well, having a transformed body. But here, Jesus, different things he's talking about, but you know what? In order for us to live, truly live in the fullness of God's will, I have to lay down my own will. I have to say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, here's my life. What do you want me to do? Lord, I want to follow your will because I know that there's goodness and faithfulness and there is meaning in your will. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the psalmist said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." In Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. "A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You ever messed up in your life and regretted it? You ever got to a point in your life where you did something and it was like, obviously it didn't work out and you felt, man, why did I do that? And then you cried out to God to help you, to forgive you and to help you. I'm glad that we don't serve a God who says, no, I'm not going to help you. But he's always there to help. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'm glad that my name is not in this book. I'm glad my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's written in heaven, never to be blotted out. But I'm glad it's not in this book for all generations to see my mistakes. But we do like to point out people's mistakes in Scripture. David, who committed adultery and murder, found himself where he never thought he would be. Besides an adulteress and besides a murderer, he found himself miserable because God stopped talking to him. He didn't feel God's presence in his life. But when God came to him through the prophet and spoke to David through the prophet and pointed out that, David, you're the one that has sinned, David writes Psalm 51 to admit his sin and to ask God not to take his presence from him because he understood that's the best thing I have in this life is the presence of God in my life because he was a man known after God's own heart. How could a person known as a man after God's own heart sin against God? Because he's a sinner. Because he is tempted with sin. I'm glad that we have a Savior who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad we have a Savior who comes to our aid, tells us what's wrong, but then wants to help us walk in victory. Again, the Holy Spirit's been given to us to help us to know what to do, to help us to know what's wrong, to help us to be reminded that everything we desire comes from God Himself, and you and I often, almost even maybe daily for me, have to surrender what my will is and say, Lord, what's your will for me today? What do you want me to do? And let God work in my life. You'll never regret God having full control of your life. You'll never regret having a hunger and a thirst for his goodness and for his faithfulness. In Luke 11, verse 9, as we come to a close, it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." You know, I think often God's people don't ask. They don't seek. They don't knock because they think God will not hear me or God won't answer me. God won't show me. And again, if we know that we're harboring sin, if we know that, you know, we are in the middle of sin, then okay, no, God won't hear us. But if we're, you know, just walking with the Lord, and there's honestly nothing we can think of that I'm deliberately doing, God says, ask, knock, seek. He goes on to say, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, he says to the people, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why is the Holy Spirit so important? Now, the Holy Spirit will help you at times to worship God. The Holy Spirit knows how to worship God. But you know what? I can worship God, have a good time in church, and walk out and still be burdened down with life and still have the sadness of difficulties and still have these weights upon me that, you know what, I can't carry. But the Holy Spirit's been given to us to help us in this life, to give us the joy, the peace, to help us to even know you're worth something. You know, many people in this world don't think they're worth anything because of how they've been treated, because of what they've been told. And yet, when you find a relationship with Christ, you find out, wait, I am valuable. Because no one ever died for me, but Jesus did. He died so I could have life. Sure, people may take advantage of you, but we have a God in heaven who never will. That's something to think about and rejoice over. You know what? This person may take advantage of me again. Remember, Peter even asked the question, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother that sins against me? Seven? Or says, no, 70 times seven. Lord, you're asking a lot. You want me to forgive the same person 490 times for doing the same thing against me? I can almost hear the Lord telling Peter, yep. Because you know what? We can't, but through Christ we can. The only thing I want us to try to think about this morning is the fact that if we truly want, and whatever your age is in here this morning, you can have the power of Christ in your life. You can have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome the things you face in this life. Have you ever met somebody who was always smiling? It's like it didn't matter what time of day you saw them. It didn't matter where you saw them. It just seemed like they were always happy. And you always wonder, what in the world are they so happy about? I knew a man a long time ago that every time I saw him, besides not being able to get one word in the conversation, he was always smiling. He just always had something to talk about, and he never gave you a moment to talk. But every time I saw him, he was always smiling. And you know what that did for me? It caused me to think about, why am I not smiling? Now, I could at that moment write a whole laundry list of why I'm not smiling, because we always have the negatives that we can always jot down. But then if I were to write down just one word on another piece of paper, it would cancel out all my negative comments I wrote down. That one word is salvation. Again, if I'm a child of the King, if heaven is my home, then why do I let the world beat me up so much when my Heavenly Father has given me victory over the world and over the things in the world? Today, let's purpose in our heart to walk in the victory that Jesus has given us. And whatever problems, whatever weights we have, let's cast it upon Him. I don't have many friends. And the friends I do have, most of them would help me. But how many of you understand that you have friends that will help you, but they're limited on how they can help you and how much they can help you? Because they're just as human as well. But we have a friend in Jesus Christ who says, cast your care upon me. All of it. Whatever the weight is that doth so easily beset us, he says, cast it on me. Let me carry it so that you can walk in my peace. You can walk in the joy that I give. We serve an awesome God who has done so much at Calvary, dying for our sins, but continues to want to do so much more for us. You and I have to give him the opportunities. He doesn't force his way in. You know, he's not like a human father that will go and snatch something out of a child's hand that we don't want them to have. He just waits for us to freely give it to him. And then he replaces it with his joy and his peace and his love and whatever we need, strength, confidence, maybe contentment, maybe just needing to know, you know what, someone truly does care about me. Because I love the fact, go ahead and stand, we'll close a word of prayer. I love the fact that every single person can come to Jesus just the way they are, but you always walk away changed. When we come to Christ with whatever it is that's burdened us and we give it to him, we walk away changed. We walk away with life that is better. I may not can physically see God. I physically see you. Some of you I will continue to see today. Some I won't when you leave. But you and I, though we can't physically see our Heavenly Father, yet we know he's always there. Let's not neglect to give him what he wants. He wants glory in our life, but he wants your burden. I don't know of anybody else that wants my burden. And honestly, there's probably nobody that wants your burden. There's people that try to sympathize. You know what I'm saying? You have a God in heaven that says, come unto me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you so that we may have rest and peace to our soul.